podcast is copyright AMT. Chapter 1, Fight Anatomy, Scapula and Shoulder Joint. If you're just listening to the audio version of this podcast, try to visualize the first picture we're looking at, which is the posterior view of the scapula. First, visualize the spine of scapula and note how it divides the upper third of the scapula with the bottom two thirds. Obviously, above the scapula, we've got the supraspinous fossa, where supraspinatus originates from. And below the spine of scapula, we've got the infraspinous fossa, where infraspinatus originates from. On the medial aspect of the scapula, we've got the medial border. Down the bottom of the scapula, the pointy bit, is the inferior angle, and of course the lateral border close to the outside of the body. The spine of scapula originates from the root of the spine of scapula on the medial border and goes out to the acromion on the corner of your shoulder. Remember, the acromion is the most lateral, most posterior aspect of the shoulder. And of course, the front of the spine of scapula on the anterior side articulates with the clavicle. So we have the acromion clavicular joint, where the acromion on the scapula articulates with the clavicle. Now, going back to the medial side of the scapula, where the root of the spinous scapula starts, remember the root of the spinous scapula is a really important insertion point. Remember, all roads lead to the root of spinous scapula. Both rhomboids major and rhomboids minor have an insertion at the root of the spinous scapula. Levator scapula also works down to the root of the spinous scapula. And of course, trapezius has one insertion at the root of the spinous scapula. So four muscles have one insertion on the root of the spinous scapula. When considering scapular movements from the back, think about pulling your shoulder blades together, which is retraction, which is of course caused mainly by the rhomboids, but also helped a little bit by trapezius. And of course, when you abduct your arm, when you abduct your humerus, so you're bringing your arm out away from your body to the side above your head, as the humerus goes up 2 degrees, the scapula upward and outward rotates 1 degree. So we have the 2-to-1 ratio. Remember that latissimus dorsi and teres major also has a muscle insertion at the inferior angle, and of course the posterior head of deltoids inserts onto the upper part of the spinous scapula. Okay, now imagine the anterior aspect of the scapula, which is pretty hard to see because normally the ribs are in the way. But underneath the underside of the scapula, we have the subscapular fossa, which subscapularis inserts from. And then underneath the coracoid process, which pectoralis minor inserts onto, we have the glenoid fossa. And remember, the glenoid fossa is what articulates, what moves with the head of the humerus to cause and form the shoulder joint. So the acromion sitting above, the coracoid process is on the front, and the glenoid fossa is the dish cavity which the head of the humerus articulates with. So the head of the humerus fits in nicely into the socket of the glenoid fossa. However, the glenoid fossa is a very shallow socket, so it's not very stable. That's why it's easier to dislocate your shoulder. However, by being unstable to a point, allows more flexibility around the shoulder joint and allows us to do more movements. Now remember, at the top of the shoulder we have the deltoid, and of course at the front, attached to the clavicle, we have the anterior fibers of deltoid, which goes through onto the humerus as well. This picture shows more clearly how the humerus, the head of the humerus, articulates with the glenoid fossa, and you can see them labeled in the picture. Now remember, the shoulder joint is the glenohumeral joint, whereas the scapula moving itself is considered to be the shoulder girdle. Now, just as the rhomboids cause retraction on the posterior side, pectoralis minor, by attaching to the medial border and the superior surface of the coracoid process on the scapula, will cause protraction and pull the shoulders forward or round the shoulders forward. Okay, and let's review some movements around the shoulder joint, the glenohumeral joint, starting at the top of the deltoid. Now the deltoid is a delta muscle, a triangular shaped muscle with three origins on the scapula and one insertion halfway down the lateral aspect of the humerus on the deltoid tuberosity. Okay, the anterior fibers of deltoid are attached to the lateral third of the clavicle, the middle fibers are attached to the acromion, and the posterior fibers are attached to the spinous scapula. So the anterior fibers are going to cause shoulder flexion and medial rotation of the humerus. The posterior fibers are going to do the opposite. They're going to cause shoulder extension and lateral rotation of the humerus. And all fibers, but especially the middle ones, are going to cause shoulder abduction. Okay? Remember, supraspinatus, though, is the muscle that initiates abduction, but deltoid takes over and pulls the arm up the rest of the way. Now, at the front of the chest, we've got pectoralis major, which sits on top of pectoralis minor. Pectoralis major has four origins: the medial half anterior surface of the clavicle, the anterior surface of the sternum, the costal cartilages of ribs 1 to 6, and the aponeurosis of the external obliques. All of those origins fan out, and then they come in together, cross the front of the shoulder joint, and just go into one little insertion on the lateral lip of the bicipital groove. The movements that pectoralis major is capable of is shoulder adduction when the arm is above the head. You can imagine the pec fibers pulling the humerus down. Medial rotation along with the anterior fibers of the deltoid. Shoulder flexion along with the anterior fibers of the deltoid. Horizontal shoulder flexion and shoulder extension when the arm is in front of the body. You can imagine the fibers pulling on that bicipital groove to pull the humerus back in line with the body. Latissimus dorsi has five origins. Remember, it starts low down on the back of the spine, so the spinous processes of the lower six thoracic vertebra, and of course the lumbar vertebra are included in the thoracolumbar fascia. Down onto the side of the hip on the iliac crest, the lower three or four ribs, and sometimes the inferior angle of the scapula. They come up underneath the armpit, around the front of the body, and attach to the floor of the bicipital groove, also like the humerus. So they're going to cause internal rotation, but we tend to associate shoulder adduction with latissimus dorsi. However, latissimus dorsi is a phenomenally powerful shoulder extender. So when you're rowing and pulling the oar towards you, your humerus is moving back towards your body and behind your body, and that's going to cause that shoulder extension. Let's also remember that teres major is latissimus dorsi's little helper, and while it only has one origin, the posterior surface of the inferior angle of the scapula, its insertion is very close to where latissimus dorsi inserts. Teres major inserts into the medial lip of the bicipital groove of the humerus. Teres major's actions are shoulder adduction along with latissimus dorsi, shoulder extension along with latissimus dorsi, and medial rotation of the shoulder or the humerus along with latissimus dorsi. Lastly, let's look at the four rotator cuff muscles, SITS. The first S is supraspinatus. Remember, it originates from the supraspinous fossa of the scapula. It goes underneath the acromion and out onto the upper facet of the greater tubercle of the humerus. That's its insertion. And its action is to do abduction along with the deltoids. The I, after the first S, is infraspinatus, which is the medial three quarters of the infraspinous fossa on the posterior aspect of the scapula, and it goes through around the outside back aspect of the humerus to the middle facet of the greater tubercle of the humerus. Infraspinatus's role is to do external rotation or lateral rotation of the humerus. The third muscle in the sits group is teres minor. Teres minor's origin is the upper two-thirds of the lateral border of the scapula. Its insertion is the lower facet of the greater tubercle of the humerus, and it also causes lateral rotation. The last muscle in this group is subscapularis, which is a muscle on the anterior aspect of the scapula, from the subscapular fossa of the scapula, and it goes through to the lesser tubercle of the humerus, and it causes medial rotation, or internal rotation, along with pec major, latissimus dorsi, and the anterior fibers of deltoid. An easy way to remember the actions for the sits muscles is the two in the middle, the IT in the middle, are the outward rotators or the lateral rotators. The two in the middle go out and pull the humerus back and around. The one on the end, subscapularis, is the internal rotator. So one on the end goes in. The one at the front, supraspinatus, isn't really a rotator, it's an abductor, but it's tied in because it's very important for glenohumeral stability. These four rotator cuff muscles around the shoulder cuff are very important to stabilize the shoulder. We've just crossed the 10-minute barrier, so I'd like to leave it there. We've covered the shoulder briefly and looked at a lot of the movements and muscles acting over the shoulder. And stay tuned for next time, and we'll look at the hip joint.